dispelling all darkness, exposing my life. All creation is groaning, but it forever will cease, because my body of light, they are now on their feet. Dispelling all darkness, exposing my life. All creation is groaning, but it forever will cease. For my body of light, they are now on their feet.
But I started last month, those of you know who get the CD, I started talking about the secret. Because when I first heard the secret, I first saw the movie. And as I was listening or watching that movie and listening to the various speakers, I mean, immediately my mind just went crazy wrapping scripture around it. I thought, man, this is absolutely wonderful. And then I bought a copy of the audio book of The Secret. Now, if any of you have seen the movie and you haven't read or or listen to the audio book, I like it even better because there's more of it. But as I began to really get excited about The Secret, because I realized that Carol and I had been applying this for many years in a kind of a limited way. And I say limited way because we really didn't fully understand what we were doing. We just knew that when we heard God, we were able to do anything in the world that we felt He was saying for us to do. And to me, this is what The Secret was saying. And another thing is that we've come to the place in our Christian walk, and I say we now, I mean corporately, there's a group of people on the earth who have come to the place in their walk with the Lord that they realize their true identity. They realize that they're not simply human beings living an earthly life or a human being living a spiritual life even, but that we're actually spiritual beings having a human experience. And when I first discovered that fact, I hadn't even heard that term, you know, a spiritual being in a human experience, but that's kind of something that just came up within me. And when the Lord began to reveal to me that I was not just a human being, I was a spiritual being. I was created by Him, as we all were in Genesis chapter 1, a spiritual being. And I had been lowered into this physical plane, and absolutely, as we all have, had no recollection of who we were or where we came from. But in our progression, with the Lord speaking in revelation, we began to realize that we were not just humans, but we were sons of God. So when I come to that point a few years ago, I spoke a message first, and then I wrote a little book called Mistaken Identity. And my life changed so drastically when I began to realize that I was not just a human being. And that's when I began to, at that point, began to hear God more clearly. And I began to understand what I teach everywhere I go. No matter how many times you hear me speak, you will hear me say, you need to trust your anointing. Everywhere. Because if I had not, that's one of the first things that the Lord taught me, was to trust my anointing. Not my pastor's anointing, not what I've learned in my past, but I had an anointing. As the scriptures say, His anointing abides in you, and His anointing will teach you everything that you need to know. So again, one of the first things the Lord taught me was I have to trust what I hear in my heart and in my spirit. I need to learn to trust that. And so that was my first beginning to walk with the Lord, is learning how to trust my own sense of what I felt was right as the Lord was speaking to me. And if I hadn't have learned that first, I would never be where I am today. Because as the Lord began to reveal some things to me, and I began to share it with other Christians and pastors, and everyone told me I was being deceived and misled. Everyone that I talked to. So, like I say, if any of us does not learn the simple fact that there isn't a human being on the earth that can't hear God. In fact, I would dare say there's not anybody on the earth today who doesn't hear God, but they just don't recognize it. And one of the main reasons we don't recognize it is because when He begins to speak to us, especially if you're a religious person, He speaks contrary to everything you've known or been taught. And so, I believe that's why this movie, The Secret, is being brought through the channels that it's being brought through, because the church won't receive this stuff. It's just like many of you remember years ago, the Word and Faith movement. Now, I never got caught up into all the trickery and gimmickry and all of that stuff, but the Word and Faith movement had a wonderful truth to the message, and the regular churches, they all shut all of those kind of teachings out. So when you begin to trust what you hear from the Lord, you will never again have to depend upon any man for instruction. Now, I don't know where, I know probably where some of you are in your walk, but if you can imagine getting to the place in your walk with God where you never had to go to another individual and say, I'm feeling that God is telling me this, should I or shouldn't I do it? Now, I'm not saying that we should never seek counsel or that we shouldn't, you know, seek confirmation, but you should never depend upon a man, a woman, anyone that's in the flesh. You should never depend on them for your spiritual growth or even your spiritual teaching. Because, you know, one of the things that Jesus said to his disciples, when he said, it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter is not going to come. But when he comes, he will teach you all truth. I think that's John, 14, 15, somewhere in the Gospel of John. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all things. You try to find a Christian today who believes that. And you see, that's why I so enjoyed the secret, because the principle of the secret is to teach you to just simply believe God and to really to believe in yourself. Now, when I say yourself, you have to believe in yourself, but not in the self, in this false image of yourself that's been produced since your physical birth. All of us have lived a life and created an image of ourselves that's absolutely not true to our true nature and identity. So I'm not talking about having confidence in that fleshy carnal self, but we must learn to have confidence in the true self, in our real self, in our inner man. Paul talks about our inner man. He says our outer man is perishing. Boy, you talk about an experience. That's the most glorious experience, is the perishing of the outer man. That's when really, it's kind of when you get to the place in your Christian walk where you can't seem to pray anymore. The Bible doesn't seem to do a whole lot for you anymore. You go to church and, you know, sometimes you wish you just had, you just get to the place where it seems like all the rugs are pulled out from under you, and you just don't know what to do except go to God. And that's the best thing you can do in those circumstances. And that's when you begin then to really hear from God, when you're willing to you know, put aside all of the human, you know, it's been, of course, you know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth. And he said some things to his disciples that Christians still don't believe today. For instance, one of them, he said, you are the light of the world. Didn't he? You are the light of the world. Well, I'll tell you what, it took me many, many years of seeking and hungering and crying until I could come to the place where I could say, I am the light of the world. Now, how can you say that? You can say that when the light in you begins to manifest, and you can see, I mean, you literally, and we've all experienced this to a degree, where your life changes so drastically, and you begin to walk, as Des has been teaching us the last couple of years, you begin to experientially walk in the kingdom of God, and the whole world changes. You know, and all of this teaching is so wonderful that Des does, and you know, that some of this stuff that I say is probably pretty good, but nothing, there's not a man on the earth who can teach you how to walk in the kingdom of God. The only thing that we can do for one another is share our experiences and perhaps create a hunger in each other that will take the time that we need to spend in his presence. And mostly in the quiet, not praying, not doing anything, but seeking God in the quiet. I'm reminded of that, be still and know what? That I am God. And you will hear that within yourself in the quiet. Jesus said so many things that really his people should have grasped many, many, many years ago. In fact, Jesus said that if you would do two things, only two things that you ever need to do, only two. And I've been saying recently that if we would, as his people, really do these two things, that we change the world. And we are changing the world. And those two things is simply this: love God and love one another. You need no commandment. You need no rules and regulations. You need no preacher. You need no guidance except the Holy Spirit. But you love God and love one another. And those two simple things that Jesus said to do would not only change your life. And it's, you know how simple that is? But try it. You try to love everybody. There is such a love that has grown within my heart that I can literally, you know, my heart really aches sometimes over the way the church treats people. But you know, I can meet a homosexual, and I can put my arms around them, and I can love them, but mainly because I can feel the pain. And I don't care what walk of life you're in. I don't care what you're doing and where you come from. There is such an overwhelming love that arises in me when I meet people. And they sense that. And it's that love, it's not what I say so much, but it's that love that reaches out and changes people's lives. And you can pick up a book and you can read it, and you will sense that love reaching out for you in a written page. And that's what changes lives. So if you just love God, and you can't help love God, but it's a little more difficult when you try to love everyone. But if you spend the time in his presence, that love that evolves in you is such an overwhelming love and desire for God that it flows out of you into all creation. You see, this is the message of reconciliation. It's not a message of do. It's not a message of anything except, why don't you love one another? And you see, love has no pointing of the finger. Love has no judgment. I said jokingly a while ago about discernment. So love does have discernment. But you see, love produces a righteous judgment. And a righteous judgment simply looks at you and discerns where you are, or perhaps what you're doing, but has no guilt or condemnation for you. All it has, a righteous judgment, simply has an overwhelming desire to make right in you that which is wrong. And love does not do it by outward correction. Love does not tell you what you can or what you can't do. Love is simply an overwhelming desire to meet your need and to minister to that spirit of Christ that's in you. And that love will literally change the world. That's what we're all hungry for. You know, there's so much of the opposite of that we see among God's people. And again, you see, that's why I when I first saw this movie, The Secret, and then I read the book, I realized this is God speaking to his people, telling them, do you realize? Now, most of us have this intellectual knowledge that we are God's manifestation on the earth, but none of us act like I shouldn't say none of us. Some of us are, you know, beginning to learn. But again, it's not a learning process. It's a knowing that, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Not someday. We have a whole generation of people today waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. And there's some among them, and they don't even recognize who they are. They didn't recognize Jesus. Why would they recognize anyone else? But it's not something you wait for. It's an unveiling by the Spirit of God that reveals to you that now you are the sons of God. And yet, it says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Well, when does he appear? When he appears, when he arises within you, when he appears in this glorious temple of his presence, you will be like him, for you will see him as he is. He is the most wonderful, beautiful, physical being that you could ever imagine, and he lies dormant in most of creation, but he's there. And he's waiting not for someone to come along and tell them how wrong they are or how sinful they are or what they're doing. I'll tell you, it's so sad because Carol and I were traveling down the coast one day in Oregon, and we looked out on the street and we saw this guy standing with a huge sign, and on the sign it said, God hates homosexuals. And I'll tell you, I just began to weep because, God, they're such a rejected people. And yet, and that's, you know, that's horrible, but then people are rejected because they smoke, or because they drink, or because they, you know, perhaps they're in a illicit sexual relationship, you know, any number of things people are rejected for. And you can't reach people through rejection. You can only reach people by being as God is, all-inclusive. Do you think for one, I know some Christians do, but I know none of us here do. Do you think that for one moment God would reject anyone that for even an instant would turn their hearts to him? If you think that, you don't know God. Because God is nothing but all-encompassing love, compassion, and a burning, deep hunger and desire to see all of his creation reconciled to him and become that manifestation of what he is on this earth. That's the only reason you're here. And you know what? You're not here to die to yourself. You know what? You died to yourself when you were born. You've already went through the most horrible death that you'll ever experience. And it's time to come out of the tomb of this humanity, this human thinking, this idea of yourself that you're something less than what God made you to be. That's the tomb you're in. You don't have to die to your flesh. You are so dead, it's unbelievable. Now, I'm speaking in general terms. And listen, when I don't want you to misunderstand me either, because when I speak, I'm not here telling you that I'm a perfect exhibit of what God is. Because what I speak is what I need to hear. What I speak is what God is speaking to me, and I need to hear it just as much as anybody else. But now are you the sons of God. None of us have to wait for something to happen to us. It happened to us when we were born. You'll never be any deader than you were the day that you were born and woke up in this physical realm being told that you were lost and alienated from God, and that you had to do something to get back to God. I often share, as probably most of you know, that the very thing that God warned the first people on the earth was to not to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, every one of us were placed in a garden like that because your body, as an allegory, was made from the dust of the earth. And even scientists will tell you today that all the chemicals in the earth are in the human body. So you were placed in a garden. And when you came into this garden as totally oblivious to where you came from, and you were raised to think you were something separated and alienated from God, all of us have made the same choice as what we blamed those first people for doing, eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because whenever you live your life by a knowledge of good and evil, it simply is a clear indicator that you don't know God and you don't know who you are. Because as the sun begins to manifest in you, it's almost ridiculous to think that one day we used to live by rules and regulations. Do you think I have to be told not to commit adultery, or not to steal from my neighbor, or you think I have to be taught to love God with all my heart? To live by rules and regulations is to live by the knowledge of good and evil. I'll tell you, the only way that we begin to advance in our spiritual life, I think one of the most important things that Paul ever taught was Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, when he said, present your bodies and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because that is the only place where the problem is. And how can you be renewed? What does that mean, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? It simply means that everything that you've learned since your birth, especially that you've learned in churches, you need to, if it was possible, to erase everything that you've learned in religious circles, whether it's Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism. And I'm not saying all the teachings are wrong. I'm saying the way we've been taught to live, we have to debunk that whole mess. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to one day be awakened to realize that you are that Son of God on this earth. And that there is absolutely no reason why each of us cannot live, be, and walk as Jesus did on this earth. That was his purpose. His main purpose in coming was to reveal to us, hey folks, this is how you live. This is true life. So many people think that their purpose in life is to suffer for God. Or so many think that suffering is the way to godliness. We have been fed so many horrendous concepts. And all of us have been seeking the truth. And so we listen to this teacher, and we listen to that teacher, and we have been so caught up. Am I saying don't listen to teachers? Well, obviously not. But what I am saying is this, back to what I said in the beginning. You must know by the Spirit what is truth and what is error. Because the only way that you will ever really know the truth, you have to become the truth. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? When they asked him, Pilate said, what is truth? He said, I am the truth. Believe me, you can be just as confident in what you know God is revealing and showing you as Jesus was. Then you can say, I am the truth. And that's the only way you'll ever know the truth. And you see, the truth that you know might not be my truth. And I was sharing with Carolyn today, somebody asked me, it was a preacher, he said, do you think that God would tell you one thing and me something else? I said, absolutely. Because we're not all on the same level of understanding. We're not all the same maturity in our growth in God. And so he may tell you, I've used this example before, I used to use my mother, but he may tell you not to wear makeup because you're so proud and you don't want to go out and face people in public because, you know, you need to wear your makeup. Well, he may tell you to get rid of that pride, not to wear makeup. But if he tells you that, and you're a Pentecostal holiness preacher, guess what you're going to do? You're going to stand before your congregation, and you're going to say, God spoke to me today, and he said, don't you wear makeup. And they're going to put that on all of the congregation. That happens in every church almost in America. That whoever is leading that group will take what God says to him and put it as a rule on the congregation. And all that does is create division and puts them again under that knowledge of good and evil. I was told as a young Christian, if you really want to know God, all you have to do is follow your conscience. And if you will follow your conscience and do whatever your conscience tells you to do, you will become very godly. Well, it took me many years to find out. You know what that is? That's the knowledge of good and evil. And your conscience is programmed by your religious teachers. So if you're taught, and you believe it, in a Pentecostal church or a Nazarene or, you know, any of the holiest churches, if you're taught that to drink a bottle of beer or to drink alcohol is wrong, and you believe what they teach you, every time you go to reach for a drink, your conscience is going to condemn you. But if you live in Germany, some of the, you know, great Christians sit down and have beer at every meal and think nothing of it. Their conscience doesn't bother them. So the Lord showed me this years ago. He said, don't try to live by your conscience, because all that is another form of the knowledge of good and evil. There's something far surpasses your consciousness that you have to live by. And that's the sense. That's the intuition. That's the anointing of your spirit that is within you. That is what you have to learn to live by. Far surpasses your conscience. We have been fed such a bill of good, and by well-meaning, good-hearted pastors, but they only pass down to you what they have learned from their elders and their Bible schools and their seminaries. And a lot of what they teach you is very good. But when you try to follow teachings in an outward way, again, you're right back under that knowledge of good and evil, because you're always trying to figure out what to do. Is this right or is this wrong? Is it really okay for me to have a beer? Well, the minute I have to ask that question, especially to somebody else, tells me that you're not living by life. Because you do, and this, I'll tell you what, God said, you do anything that you feel comfortable doing that does not disturb your peace or your sense of prayer. He said, do anything. You have the liberty to do it. You are absolutely free to do anything. I'm free. And you know what? That's scary for people. And when you first hear this, you could pick this up as a doctrine and go live foolishly. But you see, even in that, you will learn that when you sow to the flesh, guess what you reap? You will soon learn, if you're really seeking after God, that you are free to do anything you want to do, but if you're sensitive to the Spirit, that it is the Spirit that will put a hindrance on you. And so, We have to renew our minds in every area. And it's not that we shouldn't listen to these teachers. I mean, I don't listen to a lot, but there's certain ones I love to listen to. I listen to Preston Eby, I listen to Lynn Hiles, of course, Des Walter. There's a few people that I listen to. And I love good teaching. But we have to come to that place in our spiritual walk, again, where no matter what somebody else says, if it doesn't bear witness with us, we don't have to receive it. And of course, most people don't, but where they make the mistake is they hear something that sounds contrary to what they believe, and then they back off from the person that said it. Because it's just not right to them. Now, I often share that probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was one of the most sought-after speakers in the kingdom circles. And because I began to share some things like I'm sharing with you tonight, especially when I began to endorse something like the secret that's coming out of what they consider the secular New Age movement, then man, right away, I'm taboo. But I say, how you could read something like the secret and think that it was something that's deceiving means that you're already deceived. And of course, you can take a teaching like that, like many people did with the Word and Faith movement, and you can, you know, run to the flesh with it, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff with it, but it doesn't nullify that it's truth. And so in this first message I did on my CD last month, I used, most of you know that hear it, I used a lot of scripture to show that Jesus taught the secret. He didn't call it the secret. And I say, you know, we get so hung up with our terminology. In a lot of the spiritual teaching that's done today, they don't use the word God. And I understand that because when you mention the word God, in most Christians' mind, it forms an image that's really not God. Not the true God. There's just as many false images of God in the Christian world, probably more false images of God than the Catholics have their idols. So the terminology that's coming out today is different. And like the secret, I think they use the word source a lot.
Universe.
Well, see, when I hear something like that, it doesn't bother me because when I hear the people in the New Age movement or the whatever, the secret, and they're talking, they say, well, you know, the source has everything you need. Well, I just change that terminology and I say, God is everything I need. Or the Spirit has everything I need. And, you know, you can't believe the terminology and how you and I are affected by terminology. You'll find somebody that, now I know in the New Age movement, I don't support any movement or any religion or any church, but I definitely stand alongside anyone who's searching for God, even if they're in an error. If they're searching for God, they will be led out of that error. It's not my place to tell them they are in error. It's my place to minister to them. So you may hear someone who is really, you know, seeking after God, and they have maybe have been in a New Age group or something, and they begin to say, well, I had a spirit guide come to me. And right away, all the red flags go up, don't they? But if you change that terminology and you didn't know they were New Age and they said, you know, in my prayer, my meditation last night, an angel came to me. You'd absolutely be overwhelmed. Terminology, more than anything else, has divided God's people. Even more than the different teachings. Because a lot of the teaching, I've spent a lot of years, I've studied a lot of the major religions of the world. And if you go back to the source of those religions, you will find some of the most spiritual teaching that you can't even get in Christianity. I said it last month when I was first talking about the secret that I could take a writing from Buddhism and I could stand up here and read it to a Christian church, not just a funnel, but I'm talking about a group of people like us, and read it and not tell them where it came from, and he'd be absolutely overwhelmed and delighted with what I'd read from Buddhism. But if I said to them, I just read to you from Buddhism, all the red flags would go up, and it would turn from being wonderful to something deceptive, deceiving, and devilish. We have to get away from that. Now, you don't have to receive everything you hear, but we have to break these barriers down we have of thinking everyone needs to think and believe like a Christian or like we do. And if we can break down those walls and those barriers, you will see a move of God take place on this earth like you couldn't even imagine. And it is happening among a few. But there are people on the earth today that will not let any division come between them, regardless of their belief system, regardless of how they live their life. I'll tell you what, I don't care what you do. I just know who you are. And if I know who you are, and I can overlook what you're doing, I can minister to you. And the words that proceed out of my mouth is just as effective as what Jesus had on his disciples. And we all have that ability. Every one of us. Every word that you speak under the anointing of the Spirit will go into the hearts of those who listen to you. And perhaps their minds will go crazy. But there's something in them that begins to take root. And I'll tell you what, you can be so confident and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can speak a word that will change the hearts and the minds and create such a love and a compassion and such an overwhelming desire for God just because You're able to minister to them, not look at them under judgment or guilt or condemnation for the way they're living. Because every one of us is wrong in the way we live in the flesh. It doesn't matter how righteous you are, doesn't matter how good you are, when you're living out of this mind of good and evil, you are absolutely just as fallen away and just as fallen as anybody in this earth. God, how I pray that we'd be awakened to the truth of our being. Because when the dawning, so I often think about that man of sin that Christians warn you about so much that's coming someday, having no concept or no idea that they are that man of sin. But I'll tell you, the moment the dawning light of his presence begins to arise within you, that man of sin begins to be destroyed. For with the brightness of his appearing, he destroys those concepts. He destroys all that religious stinking mindset. He destroys all the division. He tears down every wall and every barrier that you've ever had against everyone. And you can stand before anybody, and you can just feel the overwhelming love and compassion of God. Oh, God, how we need that to change the world. Nothing else is going to do it. You can't teach them enough. You can't beg people to come to God. But I'll tell you what, when they sense his love and his compassion, the scripture says that nations will run to the rising of the Son of God. And that's what's happening today. That he's beginning to arise within a people who can stand in his presence and bridge the gap between heaven and earth. And I don't mean a location. Bridge the mindset between the natural and the spiritual. As Preston Eby used to say, with one hand we reach into the heavens, and with the other hand we reach to our brother, and we bring heaven and earth together. That's all we need to do. So many people are so concerned about their condition. And I used to be that way myself. I used to say, God, I'll never change. I'll never be able to change. And then I heard Preston Eby one day, and you'll remember this. Some of you were there. And he began to talk about Michelangelo in the Statue of David. And somebody said to Michelangelo, how could you take a piece of marble and carve out such a beautiful statue as David? And Michelangelo said, oh, that was easy. David was already in that marble. I just chipped off that which didn't belong. And that's all God is doing to any of us. He's just chipping off those old mindsets. He's raising us up out of the religious mindset. He's beginning to renew our minds to the truth of our true nature and identity. I'll tell you, God is nothing but absolute, pure love and compassion. That's all he is. And we haven't understood that because we've listened to our religious teachers who tells us that God is angry and God hates sin, or God, you know, God's going to punish those who, I'll tell you what, in the mind of God, and it's so hard for religious people, there's no punishment in God. There's no retribution in God. Am I saying you don't, you know, suffer for your wrong? Well, again, the law of sowing and reaping. It's your own backsliding condition that judges and teaches you by the law of sowing and reaping. But listen, there is a realm. Even sowing and reaping is under the knowledge of good and evil. There is a realm that we're reaching for. There's a realm that we're beginning to walk into that's beyond the law of sowing and reaping. That's the law that Jesus used. He didn't need to plant a seed for a harvest. He could take one piece of bread and multiply it to feed 5,000. See, that's beyond the law of sowing and reaping. And that's where he's drawing us to. He's drawing us to such a place. You know, for years we've longed for the kingdom of God to be manifested on the earth. Yet it'll never be manifested on the earth until it's manifested in us. And that's what he's bringing us into, that understanding, that he's raising up his consciousness within us. You know, Paul said 2,000 years ago, you have the mind of Christ. You see, we believed we've had a carnal mind. You know what? The carnal mind is simply a description. There's not two minds. The carnal mind is simply who someone who is operating out of their mind. They're literally insane because they're not operating out of the mind of Christ. Paul said, you have this mind, so let this mind be in you. This mind that knows no, it knows no walls, it knows no limitations, it knows no barriers. It just knows that whatever I sense my Father would have me to do, why would I not know I can do it? I'll tell you what, if God tells you to raise the dead, I guarantee you they're coming up out of the grave. But you go try to do it, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. And many have done that, out of, you know, trying to make it work. And that's where the Word of Faith movement missed it. They tried to make it work. They taught people it was true, but they taught people, Kenneth Hagin used to say, well, if you pray for enough people, somebody's going to get healed.
Right. Yeah.
But see, you can't learn to do this stuff. When the Spirit of God begins to awaken in you, you realize there's no such thing as an impossibility. You take I can out of the vocabulary. You stand in the same place that Jesus stood in when he said, I can't do anything of myself. There is absolutely nothing I can do. Yet look what he did. Because he knew who he was, and he knew how to operate under that mind that he had, that knew no barriers, no limitations. He didn't see a sick person. He didn't see somebody with a withered arm. He saw wholeness and health and being. And so he spoke what he saw, and he got the results. Folks, that's where all of us are headed for. You know, we've had some of the most wonderful spiritual teaching of any generation that's been on the earth. There's some people out there now you can get a hold of on the internet that have some of the most beautiful words and some of the most wonderful ministry, but yet if you're not able to apply it into your life, it'll just frustrate you. And that's where I was for many years, just frustrated. Because, like I say, I studied all the religions of the world, I studied all the different denominations looking for the right group, and all I did was get confused. Well, that's why the scriptures call the church is Babylon, because the word Babylon means confusion. And the only way to get rid of the confusion is to take the time that you need to sit in his presence. You know what? If you never pick up a Bible again, don't misunderstand me. If you look at my Bible, I mean, I'm in that thing all the time. I love the scripture. I never tell anybody. But you know what? It's not God. And you have to know God so well. And you have to be able to trust your anointing so well that if God tells you something that's contrary to what you read in there, you better believe what you hear God saying to you. Otherwise, you have to go right back to the churches. Because most of us in this room right now know that some of the things that are written in that word is not true. One of them is eternal punishment. The whole thing, we've missed the whole thing is about knowing God, getting to understand that there's nothing that comes out of the heart of God but pure love and compassion. I can't do it anymore, but if I do happen to, you know, be skimming the TV channels or something and I hear some of these preachers, what they preach to the people is absolutely heartbreaking. And they still say things like, you know, if you're in here today and you don't come to Jesus, he loves you so much he died for you. But if you walk out of here today and get hit with a car, you're going to be eternally tormented forever and ever. Why would they want to come to a God like that? And I know there may even be some in this room that still believe that, but why do you believe it? See, that's our whole problem. Why do we? I have a whole message I shared on why do you believe what you believe? And the only reason any of us believe what we believe is because we believe what we've been taught for years. You don't know that's the Word of God unless God has spoken to you, and spoken to you perhaps out of that Word, When God speaks to you out of that word, what you hear God speak is the word of God. That is what I call the scriptures. That is not the word. It may have been a word spoken to those men, but that's not the word to you. The word to you is what you hear God speak to you today. And that can come from the word, that can come from an anointed speaker, that can come from your wife or husband. One of the things that God told me, I think I shared this last month too, was that when I first began to understand that I could hear God and have this anointing, He said, whatever you do, wherever you go, whoever you meet, realize and look for God in everyone. Look for truth in everything you read. Because if you will look for truth in everything you read, and you will look for me in everyone, then that's what you'll find. But if you're looking for error, as most people do, when they read something, if you're looking for error, that is what's going to be pointed out to you the strongest. So I'm going to stop for now, but I'm going to be talking more about the mind this weekend. Because let me tell you something. The Christian church has fought Christian Science for years. But I'm telling you today, as God is my witness, the key to your unveiling is to learn the truth about the power of your mind. Because it will keep you imprisoned in a human consciousness, or it will be unlocked so that you can live as Christ on this earth. It is the key. It's not what you do. I can tell you today, you don't ever have to do anything. You can't do anything to win God's favor. The only hope that we have is that the tomb of this mind begins to be, the seal of our mind begins to be broken. I talk a lot about the seven seals in Revelation, because the seven seals in Revelation is all about the seals that are keeping you imprisoned within this body. The seal of your mind that keeps you living as a human being, when that seal begins to break, you begin to think as Christ thinks. You begin to love as He loved. You begin to walk on this earth, maybe not to any great degree, but you begin to walk experientially in this glorious, wonderful kingdom. And you know what you find out? There's nothing wrong with this world. There's nobody that you need to fix. There's nobody you need to change. One of the greatest reliefs in my life came when I realized I did not have to try to change anybody. And I realized that just the words, just the essence of Christ that was in me is what will bring the change. How could we change anybody? But when the Spirit speaks, lives are changed. Amen.